gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It is hour three of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Where else would it be, to be honest with you? I don't know where else it would be. I mean, unless we're like the big time, maybe Monday through Friday, on prime time slot. Little Greg Carton. Get us on. What's up, Craig? Get us on. Have us on. We'll be guests. By the way, why pay high rake when you can play daily fantasy baseball and pay half the rake on Fantasy Draft? Featuring half the rake GPP and head-to-head contests, exclusive VIP experiences, and the most flexible lineup structures in the game, Fantasy Draft is the only DFS site that puts players first. They are also the only site to offer 6 of 7 PGA scoring, dropping your lowest golfer score. Register today with the code FNTSY for a free $4 entry into a guaranteed winner contest in the sport of your choice. Fantasy Draft, daily fantasy on a level playing field. Go check them out.
Do it.
Do it. Good conversation today, by the way. A lot of topical.
A lot of stories.
Stories. Right. Yeah, that's exactly how I was going to go. Stories. We had from the Conor McGregor stuff to you got Shohei Ohtani in general, Gabe Kapler. We go to Jose Fernandez and the conspiracy, and then a story that, I mean, really only maybe in our world, but I semi kind of became a part of in Michael Chavis's suspension and then him responding.
And these
to
people
me.
Are drunk. Like everyone who's got to take a shot every time we reference meeting someone or being involved in a famous person's life, like
it's
they
a Baker's,
are hammered.
It's a Baker's dozen, right?
Yeah, they are Danny Duffy smashed.
Probably play this game with the beer shot game. Like do shots of beer. Don't do like hard liquor.
Yeah,
that's a problem. That's gonna.
Yeah, but if you are gonna do hard liquor, do it before the beer, right? Isn't that how
sicker.
It goes?
Beer before liquor makes you sicker. Liquor before beer, you're in the clear.
In the clear, right?
I don't get that one right often because I usually go.
You start with beer.
Beer. Wait, liquor before beer. You're in the clear. Beer before. Yeah, I'll have like a couple beers, a couple Miller Lights, and then I'll go to some.
Here's
nice
a whiskey.
Yep, some nice whiskey. And I don't drink enough for it to be a problem, but I can feel sometimes like, oh, this might be a problem. This has the potential to be a major problem.
I mean, if you want to see me go from kind of drunk to completely blackout inebriated, go and cry. Go onto our YouTube page. What is it? YouTube.com/InThisLeague. The
Welsh.
That's
a great point. I always forget. If you want to see Bogman completely hammer time drunk and then cry,
don't remember it either.
No. Yeah, I bet it's really faded now because it's like a while.
Oh, I just act like it didn't happen. So.
Oh, okay. You just pretend it's not on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, no, it's not there.
I mean, I got drunk too, but
yeah, you did.
But I
mean, I deleted it a while ago, so it's gone.
Yeah. Is it really?
Nope.
Did you really delete it?
Nope.
Is it there?
Nope.
I'm gonna check. Is it?
Nope.
It's still there.
Nope. Nope. None of it's still there. Don't go there and find out. So
YouTube.com. I'm going to our own YouTube channel just to see. So, oh, look at that. Deck our
it's
balls.
Still there. I mean, balls. I like deleting it would take effort. And,
that would take a lot of effort. Though.
I'm
You're,
not big into that.
You are not gonna put in. You can also.
I'm hiring movers for the first time. By the way, couldn't be more excited about that.
Hiring movers.
Yeah, because I mean, I've moved about 8 million times and I've never not moved my own things.
Are you going to like soak it in by putting your feet up and be like, great job, fellas?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to sit in the chair until they have to take it.
You maybe have them take it with you.
No, because they are getting paid by the hour.
Take me away, guys.
So.
I hope you say it like that too. Say it like old timey and stuff.
Take
yeah.
me away, fellas.
Come on, fellas. Let's go get a. Let's go get
I'm
a.
I'm moving like just across the street. I wonder if they could just put me like in the truck.
That'd be
just
fun.
Put me in the truck with my stuff.
That would be fun. Yeah, just be like, I don't need to sit up front. Just put me in the back. Let me sit on my couch actually while you guys move me. That would be the best.
Just
case
like
scenario.
On my Kindle reading a book.
That would be fun, yeah. So, hey, a lot that we covered. If you missed any of it, please go listen on demand, fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio, and you can find In This League, and you'll find all the hours. If you need to skip those steps, just search In This League on whatever podcast service you use. I'm not sure if it's on Stitcher and whatnot, but it's definitely on iTunes. And if you listen to any podcast apps like Podcast Addict or something like that, that aggregate from iTunes, you'll get it. Just search In This League, and you'll see the radio version plus a bajillion other shows that we host. A lot of content. A lot of us. A little oversaturated in the market.
Nah, I think there's enough. I think there is... You think there's more Bogman and the Welsh per week or wrestling? We talked about that a little earlier.
There's more us.
Do you think so?
I really do.
Because isn't it 3 hours? So it's 6 hours of those guys.
Bogman,
plus,
we are 3 hours on this show alone.
I know. Can I finish? Please.
Can I finish?
All right, I'm finished. I think there isn't there like a Saturday one now too for wrestling.
I mean, there's like NXT, there's SmackDown. I would say
I don't know anything about wrestling, but I know like of wrestling still. Like I know there's more shows and that like wrestling has moved up an hour because back in our day, we only had 2 hours of Raw. I mean, we're old enough to remember when Raw started.
Yeah, 100%. I would say they've got like 7 hours of weekly content. That's just WWE. And right. I think we do more than 7 hours in a given week. Between Prospect One, the college show, the full 60, we're over seven. We're probably closer to 10 hours a week of content.
Mm. Well, listen to all of ours and none of theirs.
Please do. Please do. Update on the poll that we put up earlier because Shohei Ohtani, Ohtani Mania, hashtag the main event. Let's get that going. Let's get my nickname going. The main event, Shohei Ohtani, because of how amazing and exciting he is. We wanted to see what's the level? What's the level of player that you might trade? And I think we might have found the baseline. And it's called the Brian Dozier line. Because I said, who would you rather have, standard 5x5? I tweeted it out, at Is It The Welsh? Brian Dozier or Shohei Ohtani? 53% want Dozier now, when it was 54% Ohtani at one point. But Ohtani is just bad. Now it's 53%. It is battling that 50% marker. Half the people want Ohtani over Brian Dozier right now.
And I believe this is the first poll that we've put out that has gone, that has flip-flopped. I don't think any other outside of like the first 10 to 15 votes has flip-flopped once.
I want to give
this one got up to about 50 votes and then went the other way.
I want to give a perspective as well. We wrote a book that you definitely didn't buy. You 100%
didn't buy. Speaking of things that blacked out.
Yeah. 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates, still on Amazon for you to not buy. We had 3 Shohei Ohtani debates. The Shohei Ohtani debate, where he is a hitter and a pitcher, Brian Dozier is better than the player that we put in the book. And when we put him in the book, people scoffed at some of it. We had Shohei Ohtani versus Nelson Cruz. And that was the one we paired together. And it was, I think, pretty stark, you know, Nelson Cruz. And that might have looked lopsided, especially with how the preseason ended. Right now, almost 50% want Ohtani over Dozier. You're taking Dozier over Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, Cruz 52 ADP, Dozier 34.
It's not even close. I put that Nelson Cruz Ohtani one up.
Nelson Cruz
right now
is hurt right now.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
You know.
But, dude, I put that out right now. That is 65% Shohei Ohtani over Nelson Cruz.
Easily.
Easy.
Easily.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. But I want to go on the opposite end of a hot guy like Shohei Ohtani. I want to talk about, go a little bit into what we like to call the panic room.
Ah.
And talk about some of these players that are starting out. I mean, look, like we mentioned before, short sample size, very, very early in the season, probably too quick to panic. But I think that a nice refresher might be of when do you panic, right? Because we're not panicking really on anybody now. Is there one player who you've seen and you're like, I wish I hadn't talked about this guy? I think the opposite is true.
I think you can
see some hot guys and go, man, maybe I missed the boat on that.
Like, what,
I think that's more
players?
Likely. I don't think you should do that either, but I think that is more likely.
Oh,
right?
You mean like players that you wish you had talked about that are going nuts? And like Didi
like
Gregorius for me.
Everyone probably wishes they talked about Patrick Corbin right now.
You for Patrick Corbin? Oh, well, you had talked about Patrick Corbin. I wish I had talked more about Didi. I think there's even an element where people will look at players that they talked up and get nervous. Like, there's a little bit of that, like, I talked up David Price a lot. A lot of shares on the David Price. And Johnny Cueto, both have been really good. And people, I think, are getting squeamish and like moving in their seats a little bit. Like, ooh, should I trade him now? Like, when is it going to fall off? Like, there's a lot of weird, different panic that goes on that's almost the same. That same type of panic of like, ooh, do I have to sell now? Will exist in like, oh my God, these guys are underperforming. Should I worry? But you're right. There is no player right now that I think is overtly concerning that I was like buying on.
Right, right. So so we have a list of players here. You know, we have the top 50 guys that are struggling, 50 to 150 that are struggling, and 150 plus. And these are kind of ADP ranks-ish. You know, they're all kind of in this type of area. So let's start out with the 150 plus guys. And you can tell me just quickly off. I'm gonna burn through a couple of them. You tell me if you are panic room and you want to kind of get rid of these guys, or if you think that they are keepable. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, Odubel Herrera.
No, not panic.
Kevin Kiermaier.
No.
Logan Morrison.
Man, I want to say no, but maybe, yeah. I don't know if I want to get rid of him yet, but I think he is a worry.
Kendrys Morales.
Little bit.
Yeah, I think the Donaldson in the throwing, like, he's got to get better, because if he's DHing, Morales can't play a position, and that's,
yeah,
that plus his struggles are adding up to be no good. Carlos Gomez.
That's one we need to take a stop on real quick, because I need to look at his numbers, because I know you have lots of shares, I have none. Carlos Gomez, 2 for 23, a homer, an RBI, and a couple runs, hitting 091. I mean,
I'm not panicking yet. They still got him decently high in the lineup, and I think Gogo has always kind of been one of those streaky players.
Yeah.
That he'll carry you when he's playing really well, but you kind of have to go through this kind of crap too.
I think he is a player that you can panic on soon, but it's not yet.
Like, one more bad week and you can toss him to the
Yeah, I think in a week we're going to see people asking, should I cut Carlos Gomez? Maybe people are already doing it. I need to see a little bit more than like 25 at-bats. Like, give me 50 at-bats, and if he's hitting 113 at 50 at-bats, maybe. I mean, unless there's a good pickup, I might jump to that.
What about some of these pitchers? Now, some of these are going to get a second start pretty quick here. Let's do the closers first. Ziegler and Hector Neris.
I'm concerned about both of them, especially because Neris has a manager in Gabe Kapler. But Kapler, one of the biggest things we didn't even talk about earlier was he was like, I don't know. I don't want to commit to a closer. Might be committee. He doesn't seem to be locked down with anything, so I think he's worried. And I wouldn't, you shouldn't.
Can you cut Ziegler already?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I would cut Ziegler to pick up Jacob Barnes. I'd pick up Jacob Barnes right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good call, because Corey Neville,
out for
the hamstring thing. Yeah. Some starters here. I mean, Brad Brock has been Bratch. How do we say it? I always Brock. This is the name. I'll just never get it right.
Yeah, this is the one. You have a problem with this one. Brock.
A couple bad first starts. Danny Duffy has two bad starts. Stroman didn't start out too hot. Tehran has had some struggles.
No one is worse than Tehran.
So Tehran,
I worry about Tehran. I'd be okay cutting Tehran.
But you were kind of worried about him going into the year too, right?
I had a little bit of optimism.
A little personal discrepancy for me, because I just never really liked Julio Tehran.
No, it's true. Yeah, you were always off of him.
I can't remember who said it, but someone, and I wish I knew who said this line, because it's such a perfect line, said, I would rather live in Tehran than draft Tehran. And I just, love that. That is so funny. But Waka, Lynn, Stroman, I'm not really worried about any of those guys yet, right?
No.
What about when we move up to the 50, 150 players? You know, these guys, obviously, you can't cut or trade any of them at this point, I think.
I mean, you could trade if you wanted, but you definitely can't cut.
But if you trade these guys, you're taking a bath on them. Like, you are not.
That's a good point.
You are not getting your value back. And that's disappointing. I think it's too early to do that. But Luis Castillo got rocked in his first start. Second start wasn't much better.
Hey, Bogman.
But it was a little bit better.
Zero shares.
Hey, Welsh.
Yeah.
Zero shares.
Oh, that's your guy, though.
I know. I talked him up too much. I don't have him anywhere.
No shares. Wow.
Wow. Yes, Luke Wilson. I'm
Owen Wilson. Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Luke Wilson's like, I don't know. I don't want to join a frat. Doesn't sound like it's going to be any fun, Vince Vaughn. And then it's a lot of fun.
And then Owen Wilson comes in and goes, wow. Wow. Wow, Bogman. Don't unplug your microphone. Wow.
I'll try not to, but sometimes it happens.
Okay.
My cat was making a bunch of noise behind me. Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Brad Hand is on the struggle bus, man.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, you can't trust this. God, that was your guy, too. You love a good Brad Hand.
He's a closer with a ton of strikeouts. Plus, the Padres gave him a nice extension in the offseason, which kind of said to me, hey, he's going to stay the closer. They're not going to mess around with, giving it to anybody else after signing him to this big deal. And he has just been hurting. Are you worried? Like, how worried are you?
I mean, here's the problem with him. It's a different situation from Neris and Ziegler simply because, you know, you probably drafted him close to top 15. So that's a little bit of a problem. So I think there's a bit of a worry. But like you said, that's one that you can't mess with. You just got to get him out there. He's got to get his run. So worried? Yes. Can I do anything? No. Same thing with Luis Castillo. That's a big one where he's going to have to eat it because if you'd make a trade, you're going to be taking it on the chin. And we got more. So more. 50 to top 150 guys. And Bogman's even got some top 50 guys we're going to talk about who might be on the struggle bus. Are we panicking? Let's find out. You tell us. Also, any of these guys you're panicking on that we're just letting give a pass? Tweet us. It's at the Welsh Bogman Sports. This in this league. We'll be back.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they use to make...
In this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome back. InThisLeague.com and Patreon.com/ITL Army. Join us, will ya? You can join in all the craziness. We've got our insider program. You can get GroupMe access to join in a bevy of GroupMe rooms. You can listen to our secret shows. You can get access to my top 500 fantasy prospect list.
500. Bogman's Cobb sucker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 500.
Can you dig that?
I'm a Cobb
sucker.
Makes sense to nobody. Bogman's got a list up there of fantasy NFL draft prospects. There's a whole bunch of stuff up there. Definitely, we'll try to make it worth your time, and you are supporting In This League when you do it, and you become the proud, the few, the ITL Army. We'd love to have you.
The very few.
You can check that out. So we were talking about players in the panic room and how much are we buying it, and Bogman, we were talking about Brad Hand and Luis Castillo in the 50 to 150, but you got plenty more.
Right. I mean, Jose Quintana, I believe, is starting today, but he did not look that great in his...
I'm just not worrying about him.
Yeah, I'm not really worrying about him either. Justin Bour, Evan Longoria, Ian Happ is on the struggle bus majorly.
Let's talk about Ian Happ for a minute.
Okay.
Because Ian Happ is a
first pitch of the major league season hit for a bomb.
Yep. And that was about it because he's one homer, one RBI. He had one stolen base. He's got three hits on the season, and it's not good. And a lot of strikeouts. And that's a big thing that I keep getting is people talking about Ian Happ. You know, a question I just got, I'm trying to remember if it was a specialty league or not, maybe an OBP league or something like that. But someone was asking me, who do you want rest of season, Ian Happ or John VR? And I was like, oh, man, that's where we are now.
I said, to be honest, I can't remember what I said.
I said Happ still. I'm going Happ still.
I think I might have gone with VR. What's VR because doing? I can't remember what I said, to be honest with you.
Who are those guys?
Who are those guys?
I mean, VR's been a bit. Yeah, I mean, he's 7 for 24, got a couple stolen bases. I don't know. I'd still go on the Hap front. The guy can hit 25 homers, but he's striking out like crazy, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't give up on him yet.
I wish I could quit you.
I think you're giving up on him then. If you're saying you'll take VR over him, I think you are hitting the panic button on Hap. That is the definition.
You know, I think that the problem is Hap is being platooned and not hitting. I'm just kind of afraid of this fallout for him. This Joe Madden, you know, well, this guy's not hitting, so I'm going to wind up putting him on the bench because they have enough options to where they don't have to play Hap. I think VR is kind of needed. I know they also have Hernan Perez, so he's not as needed at. So that's what makes this hard to argue, because Hernan Perez can also play where VR does. That is difficult, man.
I think it's a difficult one, but like I said, the bigger portion of this is if you're asking, have you hit the panic room on one of these guys? You have hit the panic room on Ian Hap.
I think I have a little bit, and I think helping me is the fact that he can be easily replaced. You know what I mean? Like Lewis Brinson, I would panic less about because he's been struggling a little bit.
I agree with that.
But there's no one to replace Lewis Brinson, right? Like, who's going to take Lewis Brinson's spot?
They could if they want. Magny or Sierra, they could call up, but it's very minimal. But also, I would say the stakes are a lot lower for a guy like Lewis Brinson,
fantasy-wise.
You could just cut him without the ramifications. I think a guy like Ian Happ, when you talk about the panic room, and we're talking about these 50 to 150 guys, you know, Justin Bour, I think, has less of a worry or a concern. I wouldn't necessarily call Longoria, but like Hap, I think when you get in that range, that is a pretty big investment you are cutting bait on if you're saying I'd rather have Hap over VR. And if you're questioning that, I think you have hit the panic button. Like, I don't, like this next one on here, like Manny Margot. I'm not hitting the panic button on Manny Margot.
And he hit a bomb, I think, today. So
yeah, I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about him, and it's not a question. And you wouldn't be able to put a VR type. You know, like if you ask me Odubel Herrera or Margot, I'm going to go, I'm still on Margot.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Ian Happ, I like a lot, but he is, I'm trying to pull up his numbers here. He is hitting 136. He has the one homer on the first pitch. He has two walks. He struck out 14 times. He has a strikeout rate of 58.3%. That makes Kyle Schwarber look like a god. So why wouldn't they play Schwarber more? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess the good thing
Schwarber's
is
Schwarber's striking out like a bunch too. So.
Yeah, and Javier Baez has been kind of down also. So everybody not playing very well kind of helps out there. So maybe I am panicking a little bit on Ian Happ. I just think that he's easily replaceable. The rest of these guys kind of aren't. You know, Whit Merrifield, Trevor Story, Ronald Odor. Let's stop at Ronald Odor, because Odor was your guy. You are a big Odor guy. He is a zero shares guy for Bogman. So what do you think about your boy?
Yeah, well, what are the numbers? Let's look at him. Because I've got some shares of Rougned Odor, because one of the things you look at,
sitting 167, yeah. He has one run, four RBIs, no homers, no swipes. OBP is 222. He has four hits in 27 plate appearances.
I have caught him. I've caught a couple games with him.
Five times.
Yeah, his strikeouts have been down. He's gotten unlucky a couple times as well. And that was his thing last year. He had one of the biggest, weirdest BABIPs that looked like you had to at least get a 50-point run back. I think you have to pause, because he gave you lots of reason to be concerned from last year, but I'm not going to be concerned yet. I'm not going to jump on it. Like,
How about the same thing, by the way. Extra base hits.
Yeah, that's concerning. I mean, I've seen some of the power, though. I saw it in spring. But the same guy who asked that Hap Odor question had a question about, or Hap in VR had said that Odor had hit the wire. A couple people, two or three people actually have now told me Odor has hit the wire and should I pick him up? And I have told them, yeah, I absolutely will. I
think so, too. You know, because if you have like a Morales or a Carlos Gomez or, you know, a Chris Davis or something like that to drop in order to get a potentially much higher ranked player, I think that's something you do, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the time when you're going to get paid off on people overreacting about players. This is the payoff time, the first couple weeks. I'm making these moves in the first month, even if it's a player that is going to bomb out like crazy.
Let me put you in a situation here. You're in a 10-man league. 10-man. So very, very, you know, lots of good players available on the wire. You own Luis Castillo and Patrick Corbin. Luis Castillo is your last guy, your last starter. Patrick Corbin is on the wire.
You know, I'll be honest with you. In a 10-man, I think I might do it.
Okay.
I mean, Patrick Corbin has been unreal.
Now, if you have somebody, if you have Lance Lynn, you know what I mean? Drop Lance Lynn.
Yeah. Right? I would also say, like, for me personally, because if I owned Luis Castillo, it's probably because I got him at a deal. So yeah. I probably didn't pay 90 overall like some people did.
Yeah. I don't know who you're talking about, the Welsh, but
yeah, I don't know.
It's not me. It's zero share.
No, a lot of everyone else we drafted.
Yeah, I know. I'm the reason. You know, me and, you know, obviously much more better influence than me, Paul Spohr, a huge Castillo guy. He gave up 4 runs yesterday and only had 3 strikeouts in 5 innings. So it wasn't as horrible as his first start, like we said, but I guess it is improving, but it wasn't that good. Kyle Seager, Andrew McCutchen, and Billy Hamilton. Obviously, we want to talk about Billy Hamilton, but Andrew McCutchen on the struggle bus. And I might have made a huge mistake in our keeper league. Yep. I decided to go. I had the choice between Pham and McCutchen, and I just couldn't. I couldn't cast aside McCutchen. I love that he's hitting .300, but he has, let's see, 2 hits. He's hitting .083, 1 run, no RBIs, no homers, no stolen bases.
Not good.
No, he's only struck out 6 times.
Let's just do it for fun. Let's go look
he has
at Pham.
One walk.
Oh, Tommy Pham, 8 for 28, 6 runs, a homer, 2 RBIs, and 2 steals with a .375 OBP.
Awesome. Great. Yeah, thanks for making me feel even worse.
Just making sure you know. Yeah, I think it's a concern. It's another one of those guys, like, I don't think you could put me in a scenario where I'm going to cut McCutchen, because hasn't he kind of gone through this the last couple of years where it took him a little bit
terribly,
and then he just tears a couple months apart.
Yeah, that's what he did last year. He kind of cooled down at the end of it. Let me ask you. Let me find a good guy here to compare him to. Let's see, where was McCutchen going? Like right around 100, right? Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Nah,
maybe a little
he
bit
was
ahead
going
of that.
Around, I would say, 80.
Who is a good player? Lorenzo Cain was going in the same area, but that's easy, right?
I mean, I was taking Cain over him anyways, so.
Right.
I'll tell you one that I
Adam Jones was going to 106.
Oh, I would stick with McCutchen.
Okay.
But Yasiel Puig was going probably 20 spots lower than McCutchen, and I would 100% take Puig at this point.
Rather saw my arm off.
Yeah. What is Puig doing, by the way? Puig is not that much
not
better.
Doing that
5
great.
For 28, stolen base, a couple runs.
I'm looking at this on Yahoo anyway. It was 63, McCutchen.
He was going 63?
63.
That's pretty high.
So that's higher than Tommy Pham.
All right, let's pull the Band-Aid off on this last 50 to 151.
Billy Hamilton.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing?
What are you doing, Billy Hamilton? 100%. What am I doing with all these shares of Billy Hamilton?
I have one in a points league, and I've got a ton of points I've scored in the first week anyway, so it looks like I'm going to be good on that front anyway, but what do you think, man?
I gotta be honest with you, man. This one is a real kick in the balls. It's a brutal one for me because, you know, in our home keeper, I took him to dominate, and, I mean, the keeper is a whole other conversation because of just what it is. But I took him in 2 other spots, and I'm trying to remember where. I think I took him in my bourbon league that I do, where the prizes are bourbon, and then I took him in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational because I was like, well, this is, you know, the pairing of what I've done. These stolen bases are going to be huge for me in there.
Right.
And I paired him with a lot of big power guys, high average players, and he's hurting me right now. I'm sitting middle of the pack in the Invitational, too. I'm sitting at like 8 or 7
got
or something
one hit.
Like that. It's brutal.
Well, 063.
Well, that's not accounting for the Friday
that's
night.
That's right.
Stuff.
He had 2 hits.
Yeah, because
right.
Friday night he had 1 hit, but 2 runs and 2 walks.
On so he has Friday two night. Hits.
Yeah, so two hits. He's just getting there. Hit nine. But it's brutal because I think he's playing a huge role in carrying me down in a weekly league, not getting many stolen bases, and he's hurting me across multiple points the first time that I get the shares of him. He has been – he's not great, but if he can do anything, he can steal 50 bases. I mean, you
he's
can't
hit
cut
first
him.
Two games, eighth one game, and ninth two games.
It's a huge concern. He is a massive concern right now. There's nothing you can do, though. I mean, no one is going to offer you even something remotely close.
What if somebody offered you Andrew McCutchen?
No.
Who is struggling, but he's still hitting .300.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, I probably drafted Hamilton.
I wouldn't do it
20
either.
Spots higher than
right
McCutchen.
Now.
No, you'd have to. Someone
I think
would
in 2 weeks, if stupid Billy Hamilton's still hitting .900 a bunch, I think I might do that.
I think it's got to be something along the lines of an overperforming player that's in that lower end. Like, you know, it would be a good one, but it's just so obvious right now. But the guys were probably 50 spots apart. Gregory Polanco. Gregory Polanco is destroying the world right now.
I think I'd easily do that one.
That's what I'm saying. But Polanco's going 50 spots lower than Billy Hamilton in drafts. I don't know if you have those ADPs up. I'll bet you Hamilton says 60, and I'll bet you Polanco actually says 130 on that list.
Would you give up Billy Hamilton? And let's say you are in a deep league, right? You're in a deep league. Maybe it's the Invitational. You can do trades in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you waited on shortstop. You have a crap shortstop, right? Not good.
Yeah, I think I have Correa on that one.
Okay. Pretend you have Jordy Mercer.
Okay.
All right?
Ooh.
And somebody offered you Didi for Billy Hamilton.
If I had some semblance of stolen bases, I would do it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Didi is ridiculous. Yeah, my team in that league, by the way, I got some struggle buses on that. This is what's killing me. I've got Odor and I've got Billy Hamilton.
Mm.
But my team is, I got Abreu, Moustakas, Correa, Hosmer, Chu, JD Martinez, Drury, Hanley, Ramirez. Those guys are holding me up. And I got David Price in there. Little David Price, little Carlos Martinez. Ooh, but I got Archie Bradley. That hurts my save. But I did get Greg Holland. So next week it's going to be, things could look up for me in that league. I get Greg Holland to go with Wade Davis next week. I do have Carlos Martinez, David Price, Aaron Sanchez, who's having a good-ish kind of return. And I've got some offensive weapons, but I need those struggle buses to turn it around a little bit.
All right, what about the top guys? I mean, obviously you're not worrying about anybody yet, but some of these guys are really struggling. Anthony Rizzo's got a back injury, and he's been terrible. Jose Ramirez had a couple hits on Friday, but he's also been pretty bad. Gary Sanchez had cramps and went out of his last game on Friday night. Joey Votto's only hitting .200. Kenley Jansen, we talked about on the podcast, and he's been god awful. Darvish didn't have a great start. He starts tomorrow. And, a couple of these guys, I mean,
Did you skip over Corey Seager?
Seager's been bad too. And Goldie only has two hits so far.
Yeah. I mean, Seager's the interesting one. Based on our show, because I put out that poll of who'd you rather have, Didi or Corey Seager, based on a very heavy Didi Gregorius. He did, but I wonder if we put that poll out a week later, how much it would change, because it ended up being like 65% Seager over Didi Gregorius. But Corey has still struggled, and Didi is still hitting, so I wonder how much that is going to differ, because we did that episode like 3 days ago, and not much has changed with Corey Seager, and Didi is still going. So I don't know if anything would, but I thought that was an interesting one.
How long? Like, you got to wait at least a month to start actually panicking on these guys, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you got to get to the end of
even
April.
Selling, right? You can't. You just can't do it for a month.
I totally can't do it because you get hoodwinked, you get swindled on this stuff. I've seen,
like, you're not giving up Jose Ramirez for Didi. That's not happening.
No. I see swindle deals going on with Kenley Jansen, by the way, because people panic about what they paid for him, which I would never do. Zero shares at all.
If you are going to panic on one of these guys, isn't Jansen the guy?
Yeah, 100%.
I think so, too.
Is that yours,
too? It's the velocity. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like you're worried about Gary Sanchez. Like, I think zero shares on Gary Sanchez as well.
You know, I'm not. I think I have one Sanchez share. I'm not really, catchers especially. You know, they're working with the pitchers early in the season. Sometimes it takes a bat a little bit. I'm actually more worried about Rizzo because
really?
Not only has he struggled, he has the back injury now, and he missed Friday. He's going to miss today, so we'll see if he plays tomorrow. But I'm not sure about Anthony Rizzo. Not that he's not going to still be an amazing player, but this back injury may set him back. He may see a DL stint. So
I don't like that. I don't like that. What do you think, Bogdan? We got a little football to talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about some football in the last segment here.
Big trade that went down. A bunch of big stuff is going down. The NFL draft is right around the corner. We can tell you about the full 60 pod, what we've been doing, what we're going to have going on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. And we'll just break some of it down for you right here. So don't go anywhere. A little bit of fantasy football talk on In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
That nobody.
ITL.
Final segment In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Why am I yelling? Why am I yelling at you?
It's the final segment.
It's the final
It's the last
segment.
One that we do on the show.
Da, 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 da. Who did we determine that was? Europe?
I believe so. I'm actually a little bit ashamed of you right now.
Why?
Do you know why?
I could think of a million reasons, but probably not this particular one.
Because we're not listening to Endless Love right now.
Ah, Endless Love didn't come in. You're right.
You have shamed me, yourself, and our former producer, Chris Pavona, by not playing
Great point.
Endless Love.
It's a great point. It's a foul tip. Panic room. Panic room on the Welsh.
You know who else is not doing so hot right now? Thomas Davis. I know we usually don't talk about him unless we're in IDP leagues, but he has been suspended 4 games for violating the league's policy on performance enhancing drugs. I bet if you went and took a look at his Twitter, he is having a worse day than Michael Chavis.
Oh, so, are you on it?
No, I'm not on it. Okay. But I guarantee you, just because the NFL is such a big deal.
Well, you know what's rough about
NFL fans range from the smartest to the really the lowest of the low. So
that's a great point. And you know what? What's interesting to me about that one is I think he's one of those guys that hasn't he won man of the year for multiple years?
I think you're right, dude. I don't know if he's like won he's it multiple years, but he's I think a consistent, he has won it before.
He did. He's a consistent like man of the year recipient type of guy.
I'm looking. Yeah. Let's see. Thomas Davis, man of the year. Thomas Davis named Walter Payton Man of the Year for 20. He was named in 2015 for 2014, I believe.
Was that it?
Yeah. NFL honors Carolina Panthers linebacker Thomas Davis wins Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a great point. And now he's a big, giant cheater. Hopefully they'll take that C right off his jersey.
Big, old, fat cheater.
I mean, I'm a total hypocrite when it comes to this stuff.
True.
Because I don't really care.
You don't.
I don't care that
if Thomas they legalized all that stuff, like, you could care less. I would care less. Right?
I don't like it when they do it in baseball, and I don't care when they do it in football. I just think that the thing with baseball, and I should really get over this, and I kind of have. I don't, you know. Have like you? Guys getting suspended, I'm like, well, there's another one. Whatever. I'm kind of jaded at this point, like we mentioned before. But I just the records are coveted. Let's see. This is by far one of the saddest days of my NFL career. I never thought that this would happen to me. I've worked extremely hard to do the things the right way on and off the field. Panther Nation, please know that I am not a cheater. #keep pounding. That's there. It has 12 1,100 comments on it, the Welsh.
Hmm. That's a lot of comments.
I'm afraid to scroll down here.
Are any of them going to be good?
Let's see. We love and believe in you, TD. Never forget that.
Never forget that.
These TD. Are actually... okay, let's see. Packers fans are drowning in tears. Headhunter Thomas Davis suspended for PEDs. Roid rage. He ended another Packer career as well. So, yeah, he. I remember he hit Terrence Murphy, and that ended his career. These are getting ugly.
Getting dicey. Getting a little. Yep. Oh, those kind. Getting dicey. People are the worst.
I mean, you know, you getting. It's just like the Michael Chavis thing. It's just on a bigger level. There's half and half.
And I'm not involved.
We love you, Thomas. We got you, Thomas. Thomas Davis is one of a kind, coming from a Saints fan. And then you just have the other ones. So
the other ones that it's you read cruel. And read.
not out loud. Nope. I can tell you that much. But we had a giant trade happen, and we talked
huge.
We talked about this on our new fantasy football show, full 60 fantasy football on Fantrax.
But I don't know.
Times fast.
You are right. Yeah, full 60 fantasy football on Fantrax. Full 60 fantasy football. Blah, blah, blah.
Nope.
Done. You are right about that, but one thing I don't think we did to a heavy extent, I definitely, it's worth listening to because there's some funny banter in it, and there's an overall arching conversation that goes in a couple different directions, especially about the Odell Beckham stuff. But one thing we didn't do on that episode is talk about the fantasy implications for Brandon Cooks going to the Rams. That's one thing we did not cover.
Yeah, and...
'cause a lot of people see it as a negative.
I think it's kind of lateral. I think he's still going to be the number one option, the number one receiving option for the Rams, like just like he was for the Patriots. And, you know, sure, the Patriots have, you know, not as many skilled offensive players that the Rams have. They don't have a Todd Gurley, you know, I mean, they do have Rob Gronkowski, but Robert for Woods took a huge step. Cooper Kupp was huge this season. So,
What do you think about the
lateral?
What do you think about the comparisons that people say he just becomes this year's Sammy Watkins? Where
whatever.
Well, people are saying that Robert Woods. Some people like the connection for Robert Woods better off of this move because Brandon Cooks is going to spread the field. Kupp has become a safety net. Woods has become the main option, and Brandon Cooks just becomes Sammy Watkins 2.0.
I just can't buy into that. Like I'm a Sammy Watkins apologist.
To the max.
Yes, absolutely. He's still only 24 years old. You know, he's still got a lot of life left in him. I'm excited to see Kansas City with I'm excited to see what he can do with Pat Mahomes over there. But I don't think, you know, Brandon Cooks has had success multiple years in a row. So I'm absolutely not concerned about Brandon Cooks really moving. I'm taking a look. So our guy, you know, our buddy Jake Seeley is like the only guy that is crazy enough to put out rankings this early.
I
believe he updated these fairly recently. He does still have Brandon Cooks on the Patriots, so he hasn't updated since the trade that happened, you know, 3 days ago.
So not recently.
Yeah, not 3 days ago. But he had Brandon Cooks at 17. And he had him behind Tate, Baldwin, and Adam Thielen.
Baldwin and Adam Thielen.
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans are all ahead of him also.
Oh, wait, so he was ahead of Tate, Baldwin, and Thielen?
No, he was behind. He's 17. 16 is Tate, 15 is Baldwin, 14 is Thielen.
Who's behind him then?
Alshon Jeffrey, Allen Robinson, Josh Gordon. I could move him below Jeffrey and Robinson. I think I would. But I think that's all I would move him.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think I still got him ahead of Josh Gordon because, look, Josh Gordon came back last year. He's a physical freak, all that stuff. But Tyrod Taylor is a quarterback there now, and he probably will be for the entire season. So he doesn't make number ones look very good. DT has Case Keenum. Dez Bryant, you know, we've heard is going to get cut, and we have no idea where he's going to wind up. So I think I would still put him ahead of those guys.
This is a bad way to think, I think, sometimes, but it just incepts my brain where – you know, they traded a decent amount to get Brandon Cooks. They also wanted to sign an extension for him. You see that type of stuff, and you got to think, well, you see this guy is a game-changing piece to your offense. Not just a guy that spreads the field, but a guy that you want to be a playmaker in this offense. And I want to believe that he could be like Brandon Cooks with the Saints type of thing. You know, if they're really willing to. The problem is they got a lot of mouths to feed now. You know, they got Kupp, they got Woods, they've got Todd Gurley, and they can really pound the ball, and they'll throw to Gurley a lot. So, you know.
But they tried to trade for Odell Beckham Jr. You know, they tried to make moves this offseason to acquire another wide receiver, and they did here. So I don't think you try desperately to add another piece if you think you're set, right?
I agree.
And obviously
with that.
The Rams didn't think they were set. You know, I know that is our buddy Chris Harris would call that a crutch argument, but it's also a true argument. You know, you don't bring in a guy like that because you can. You know what I mean? You traded a first-round pick. If you thought that first-round pick could help you immensely, which most first-round picks do, you don't trade that for nothing.
Yeah, and I agree. And like I said, that maybe that's a wrong way to look at things, but I feel like that's how I'm kind of approaching this situation. To say that I'm going to like downgrade Brandon Cooks, I don't think so. I will say this. I really don't like him as a wide receiver one on my fantasy team. And here's
neither
the problem.
Neither do I. And I think, you know, moving him down below, he's around 20 in the wide receivers. You know, that would move him down to 19. So he's definitely a wide receiver too.
But here's the problem, though. I think now we are actually currently doing an very early NFL fantasy football season mock draft with the ITL Army, and it'll be probably released in episode form pretty soon here. So be on the lookout for it. I feel like 9 out of 10 times my strategy going into drafts for this coming year is going to go running back. Now,
yes,
in this mock draft that we're doing, I don't feel like I was put in a position where I was able to get the best talent going running back. I had the 7th pick. I did take a running back with the first round pick, but the second round, the running backs became half-assed. They were more like RB2s. So I took a wide receiver. And then in the third round, it was kind of the same thing. There was just a really good wide receiver there. So I went wide receiver heavy in that draft. And it kind of took me away from that running back spot. But let's say for the most part, I go running back, and I'm going into my third round. I might be faced with a guy like Brandon Cooks. And I don't know how much I love having him. Oh, were you? That's my wide receiver one.
So I picked 12. I was the last pick in this draft. So I went running back. I went with Christian McCaffrey and LeSean McCoy because it was PPR. So, you know, McCaffrey caught 80 passes last year, which is more than Brandon Cooks caught, by the way. So I felt like those were two solid foundation pieces to start my draft with. So then I had to wait all the way again until my pick. So I was debating between these three wide receivers, between Cooks, Jeffrey, and Robinson. And, you know, I could throw Gordon in there, whatever. But I went with Allen Robinson and Alshon Jeffrey, and Cooks went two picks after that.
And I think your position would have been fine because he would have been your wide receiver too. And I would have been okay with that. And I don't fault what you did because I think that's fine. I like the combo.
And I'm saying that, you know, by skipping him, I'm saying, yeah, I don't think he's going to be as good as Allen Robinson with, you know, the Bears or Alshon Jeffrey with Carson Wentz, hopefully all the way back. So I, you know, sure. Does he take a little bit of a hit? Yeah. But I think for the most part, like, I think you're still going to get 90% of what you got out of him last year. And his last year's stats were 65 catches. Do you think that goes up or down?
I think it goes up.
Me too. 1,082 yards.
Is that what he had last year?
Yep.
Really?
I think that stays.
I think that's about the same.
Right. 7 touchdowns.
I had 6. So
yeah. Right, I think, around the same.
Yeah. I wonder what his return as far as a wide receiver was last year. Like, what did he finish as? Like a wide receiver
20? I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, no, I mean, we don't have it in front of us. I'm just curious what he finished as.
But he's not put up much better numbers ever than that. In his rookie season, he had 53 catches. In his second season, he had 84 for 1,138 and 9 touchdowns. The next year, he had 78 for 1,173 and 8 touchdowns. So I think expecting a 70 catch, you know, 950 to 1,000 yards and around 7-8 touchdowns is probably exactly what you're going to get from him, no matter kind of where he is. Obviously, you know, if he winds up with a in a terrible quarterback situation, yeah, you could. But he's with the Rams with Jared Goff, so I think that's you're going to expect close to those same type of numbers.
Yeah,
and yes, he's been bounced around. He's probably not the greatest teammate and all that stuff. And but,
isn't it weird? I almost feel like there's more potential for him to break out with the Rams than there were with the Patriots, because the Patriots are so spread that I feel like he could become a number one in St. Louis, with Los Angeles. Not going to do that for a while in Los Angeles. That I feel like, I mean, maybe it's a wrong way to think about it, but I feel like he has a chance to be a number one where I don't think that was ever going to happen in New England.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's definitely a shot for that, but don't you think his floor is, you know, a little bit lower too? Like, I think in New England, they just pass the ball so much.
Sure.
He's definitely going to get his work. So I think there's going to be games where, you know, Todd Gurley eats, you know, and maybe Brandon Cooks only has two or three catches.
And Robert Woods is still going to be a guy. He's going to be
right.
A dude.
And Robert Woods gets hurt though. You know what I mean? So, he's been known to get hurt, and the guys behind, they still don't have a tight end, Tyler Higbee. So it's not like they have Gronk on this team either. So I think Gurley is one, Cooks is two.
Yeah, agreed.
In this,
agreed. So yeah, and that team is just stacked.
Yeah, a couple other things here. The Pats replaced Brandon Cooks with Jordan Matthews. I thought that was a nice signing for them. Obviously, you know, it's kind of a rich get richer here with the Patriots and Jordan Matthews. I mean, you know, I'll say this now, he's expected to be healthy going into OTAs and be a big part of this offense. So
I wonder if Jordan Matthews replaced Danny Amendola and Chris Hogan is the one that actually replaces Cooks.
I guess I don't
look at it as Jordan Matthews comes in as like the number two behind Edelman. I look at it as Chris Hogan steps into a bigger role and Jordan Matthews plays kind of that third.
You want to talk about a guy that's constantly hurt.
Yeah,
man.
That's a great point.
I'm looking at roster resource right now is Matthews at four. So
yeah,
they've
okay,
got
yeah.
Edelman, Hogan, and let's not forget Kenny Britt signed with the Patriots and then re-signed again after this season. And then Phil Matthews, and they took a flyer on Philip Dorsett from the Colts, and they signed Cordarrelle Patterson. So who knows what the heck? And they still have Malcolm Mitchell. Jesus.
And they're probably gonna draft a wide receiver and trade for. They'll probably sign Dez Bryant. They'll probably sign Dez Bryant when he gets cut.
I mean, the rumor is now that they have the two first round picks, and my immediate thought process was this is Odell Beckham Jr.
Sure.
But the thought process now is they are going to try to move up to get one of those quarterbacks, the top five quarterbacks.
So they'll go get an offensive lineman then.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, but they need some tacklers on defense because obviously they got torched in the Super Bowl and Nate Solder's gone. They could use an offensive lineman. So I think this is anything but a wide receiver.
Okay, so how about this for the final one here, because we're about to get out of here. The big, huge offseason news that we're totally forgetting about, RG3 signing with the Ravens. I mean, big deal or big deal?
Well, RG3 is terrible. And, I mean, Joe Flacco just never gets hurt. So, you know, come on.
It's going to be horrible. Oh, breaking news on the fan reactions of RG3. And? Yeah, RG3. This is dumb. Stupid signing.
I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, fine. Go be a backup. And Flacco's been hurt before. I get, you know, there's a chance that RG3 could play. But, I mean, yeah, the stupid the Chargers had a chance to sign him and they didn't do it. And I don't know, man. I just could care less about RG3.
Could care less. InThisLeague.com. Go check it out. Patreon.com/ITL Army. Do that, too. Baseball podcast, we got Heath Cummings. Football, we got a whole bunch going on. You can check out the full 60 on Fantrax. Check out my Prospect One podcast. We'll talk more about Chavis and other things. And catch this on demand if you listen to any of it. That's Bogman. I'm the Welsh. We're out of here. Have a great weekend.
See ya.